Well, a friend of mine a long time ago, this is a long time ago, he observed something that's going to sound rather obvious, but just bear with me. The Israelites had to travel through the wilderness to get to the promised land. Now, that sounds obvious, but here's his point. The path to the promised land is through the wilderness. You know, for most of us, this is what we want to do. We always want to go from Egypt directly to the promised land and bypass the wilderness altogether. But every single one of us in our lives are going to go through those desert, through those wilderness experiences. We're going to go through those things. And how we respond to the desert determines a great deal about our growth, about how usable we are to the kingdom of God, and even how quickly we're able to exit from that time of the desert. You know, we look at the times of the desert, and for us, we despise those desert times. They're not a lot of fun. We despise them. But I want us to see that those times in the desert, those are valuable times. You know, Al and Chris were just talking to me. Zach, their son, just got back from a missions trip. How long was he in Mexico? A week. And one of the things that Al said, I asked, what did Zach bring back from that? And he said that Zach really noticed how in Mexico, they are hungry for the Word of God. And as Al said, it's because they don't have what we have in this life. You know, it doesn't matter how hard our life is. Really, it's pretty easy for us because we have lots of fallbacks. We have people that will take care of us. We have a government that will take care of us. We don't really want for much of anything. So we don't really have to rely upon the Lord. And sometimes those desert experiences and those wilderness times, they are invaluable. Listen, the desert, it's barren. I know that. It's isolated. It's not fun. It can be uncomfortable. And sometimes in the desert, it can even feel hopeless. When you're in the middle of the desert, it sometimes has that hopeless feeling to it. But don't despise the days in the desert. Don't despise them. Because that's when we truly see how faithful Jesus is to his word. It's in the desert that we get to see how he supernaturally provides for all of our needs. You know, some of the best, some of the greatest personal growth and spiritual growth in my life, most of it's come through the desert. Most of it doesn't come during the easy times. It comes from the desert experience. I mean, think about your own personal and spiritual growth. When did most of it come? It's probably during those desert times. Because we have to look. We can't look to ourselves and trust in the flesh. We have to look to God. That's where we see that Jesus is faithful and he supernaturally provides for us. Every desert season that I've gone through in my life, every desert season, as long as I kept my eye on Jesus, I always come out of it stronger. I always come out of it with a fresh energy and a fresh revelation. Always. I come out of it stronger. I come out of it stronger than I was when I went in. I come out of it, I leave behind some of the old Todd, and I become more of what Jesus created me to be. That's what happens in the desert. My situation is always better leaving the desert than my situation was before I entered into the desert. That makes sense, though, because the promised land is a whole lot more enjoyable than Egypt is. Every desert experience that I've gone through, every time, and many of you have heard me say this as I've reflected back or shared with you some of the tough times that I've gone through, every desert experience that I've gone to, I always come through it and I always say, I am glad. I'm so glad, so thankful that I went through that time. I say that after the desert experience. I don't say it in the desert experience. But I always say, I'm glad I went through it. I never want to go through it again, but I'm glad I went through it, and I would not trade that time and what I learned for anything. The desert experience and that wilderness experience, it truly is a time of emergence for us. You know, the Christ in us emerges up out of us and displaces some of that flesh which holds us down. It is a time of emergence. Now, we look at the desert experiences in our lives and those times of the wilderness, and we tend to think of it in terms of, for example, the old-time movies, you know, where you see in the Westerns where they're in the desert. And that's kind of how we picture our desert time and our desert experience. Isolated and alone, parched, struggling to survive, struggling to find some way to get out of the desert. When you're in the desert season, that's what it feels like. You're struggling to survive, struggling to find a way out. Desperately dragging, hopelessly dragging yourself across the desert sands. Your clothes are tattered rags because you feel like your life is in tatters at that moment. You're under the unrelenting sun and there is no water. That's actually a very apt description of the desert experience for those who are not in Christ. It is. That is very true. But in your desert experiences and in your desert times, you're not alone. You have Jesus Christ, the water of life. You have Jesus with you. And He will supernaturally protect you and provide for you. Just like He did for the Israelites in the wilderness before they entered into the promised land. Jesus will do the exact same thing for you. In the desert with Jesus, it is a classroom for us. Because it's in that desert time with Jesus. That's where we learn lessons. That's where we learn spiritual truths that we otherwise would not be able to discern through all the noise of the world. And because we don't discern those things in that time of plenty. Just think about your own lives. How many times when things are plenty, when things are easy, be honest, how much are we really learning? How much? That's not usually when I learn. We learn in those desert times. That's when we go through that classroom period. If I will, if we will submit to His tutelage and listen to His voice, we will actually begin to cherish those desert seasons. Now, I know you hear that and you think to yourself, I don't think that's very likely that I'm going to cherish those things. But from my life experience, that's an absolute truth. You will learn to cherish the desert experiences. There's been times I've come out of desert experiences where I said, let's go again. Because I learned so much. Seriously, Myron, I've done that. Where I said, let's go again, I'm ready. Now, I said that once, I can clearly remember saying that, and I didn't say that the next time that they came out of one. But we do learn to cherish those desert experiences. You will. Because truthfully, going through the desert with Jesus, we become more of what Jesus sees in us, and we become less of what we've accepted that we will always be. Think about that. When you go through the desert, that's when you're able to become more of what Jesus sees in you. Not what you see in you, what Jesus created and what He sees in you. Because as we're going through life, it's easy, especially the older you get and the more you go through life as a believer, it gets very easy to come to a place where you just accept the fact that this is what I will always be. And that's not true. I know so many Christians, it's easy to get to a place where you just stop. Because you've not had success in this area of your life, so you just stop and you stay there. And you say, well, this is just what I have to accept. I will never be more than this. That's not true. And in the desert times, in those desert seasons, in those desert experiences, we can grow and learn and become more of what Jesus has called us to be and prepared for us to be. Those desert times, rejoice. Rejoice in those desert times. Have that sense of expectation in those desert times. Look at the example that we get from Jesus about this. You and I, we want to avoid the desert times, right? But Jesus sought out the desert experience. He sought out that time because it was a time that He could get away from the flesh, and it was a time that He could remove Himself from the world because that's where He could hear from His Father. It's in those desert times. This is what it says in Luke. This is Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. However, the report went around concerning Him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by Him of their infirmities. So He Himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. You can see how valuable those times, those desert seasons, those desert times. You can see how valuable those desert times were for Jesus Christ. When the world was pushing in against Jesus, He knew He had to remove Himself from the world, and so He deliberately and purposefully went where you and I often despise to go. He went to the desert. And in verse 16 it says, He withdrew. The word withdrew, it means to slip away. It means to retire. It also means this. It means to go back. This is one of the great lessons that we learn from Jesus in this desert experience. When the world is pressing in, when the world was pressing in against Jesus, he withdrew from the natural world. And he would then go back to the spiritual world. He would focus on the spiritual realm because that's where he could hear the voice of his Father. You know, when the problems of life overwhelm us. Ever been there? When the problems you face feel overwhelming to you and the world is pressing in, at those times, it's hard to hear the voice of God. It's hard to know what direction you should take and what you should do. But in the desert times, removed from the world, that's when we can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we should cherish those times. Listen, I know they're not fun, but we can cherish those times. Some of you obviously know desert experiences because this is as quiet as you guys have been in quite some time. Look, here's another example that we see of Jesus on going through those desert times and how Jesus even sought those desert times. We see it in John chapter 11. Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead. And the chief priests and the Pharisees, they gathered together and they conspired, they planned on how to precipitate the death of Jesus. And then we read this in verse number 54. Therefore, Jesus no longer walked openly amongst the Jews, but he went from there into the country near the wilderness, to a city called Ephraim. And there he remained with his disciples. Now, in both of these examples that I've shown you where you see the word wilderness, in the Greek, the word wilderness is the exact same word as desert. They're used interchangeably. So this is talking about Jesus going into those wilderness times, those desert times that we so often despise. We see what Jesus does. Once again, just like we saw in that verse in Luke, when Jesus is faced with the time when the world is pressing in, where the world is making demands, or where the world is threatening, when Jesus is facing those times, he goes where you and I often, almost always, despise to go. He goes into the desert. The desert. It's admittedly an uncomfortable place. It's not comfortable being in the desert. But look, in the desert, Jesus was refreshed and Jesus was prepared for what lay ahead of him. In the desert, we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. In the desert, we are refreshed and we're prepared for what lays in front of us, what's ahead. You know, in those stressful times, during those times of great stress, when life is a struggle and we feel like we're in the wilderness, don't despise the day in the wilderness. Don't despise the day in the desert. Don't despise it. Follow the example of Jesus. Listen and hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And two things are going to take place. One, you're going to see that God meets your needs supernaturally while you are there in the desert. But you also see that Jesus leads you into the victories that he has for you. The desert isn't fun. The wilderness, it's uncomfortable. It's not fun. But it's in the wilderness that we see the faithfulness of Jesus demonstrated powerfully to us. It's in the desert. For example, consider the Israelites when they were in the wilderness. For 40 years, God supernaturally and faithfully, for 40 years, met their needs in the wilderness. There's a lot of examples. Read through Exodus. Read through the first five books of the Bible. You're going to see a lot of examples of how God, in those 40 years, faithfully and supernaturally met the needs of the people when they were in the wilderness. But here's just one example. In Exodus chapter 12, it says that the number of men who left from Egypt and entered into the wilderness was 600,000. And it specifies, it says, the men were 600,000, not including the women and the children. So you're looking at, conservatively, almost 1.5 million people who are in the wilderness. For 40 years, they're in the wilderness. And for 40 years, God provided water for them. Every day, he provided water for them in the wilderness, in the desert. By definition, desert means there is no water. And yet for 40 years, God provided water, not just for the million plus people who were there. He also provided water for their livestock where there was no water. And he did it every single day. Every day they had to have far more water than was possibly available in the desert. And yet he did that. You see, in the desert, in those desert seasons, we learn that we can trust Jesus in every situation of our lives. And that he is faithful, faithful to all of his promises. We've got a better covenant than they had too. You know, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have the fullness of everything. Every victory that Jesus has purchased, which is, let's see, all of them. We have all of that. We have the fullness of all of his promises. And we learn to operate in faith and obtain and procure, lay hold of all of those promises in desert experiences. That's how we learn to lay hold of them. That's how we learn those things. Through the desert. I can think of so many times in my life. I could sit here for the next hour and give you story after story. Just in the time that I was at Yes FM. You know, there was a lot of desert times when I was at Yes FM, managing Yes FM. There was an eviction that we had coming up. I can't tell you how many times we had financial situations where we were on the brink of being closed. Desert seasons, let me tell you. Yes FM has, starting tomorrow, they have their share-a-thon. I think I was there for, I lost count. It's like 41 different share-a-thons I've been through. I'm just telling you, I don't like share-a-thons. Share-a-thons are a lot of stress. When you're the one that's doing it, it's a lot of stress. And I can remember a lot of share-a-thons. The first 8 or 9 years, we'd always get our goal. You know, it might be stressful, but I'll tell you what, the last 10, 11 years that I was managing Yes FM, we never once met our goal during a share-a-thon. And that's our livelihood. That's where we got all of our money. I can tell you there was, share-a-thons would last 2 weeks. I can tell you in the middle of week number one or towards the end of week one, there was a lot of sleepless nights, and I remember a lot of times being desperate and being so overwhelmed because as the manager, I carried all the stress of everyone who works there. Their jobs depend on us being able to get that money. And I'm the one that's supposed to be leading the way, let alone all the listeners if we've got to close down. I can tell you there was many times that I would sit there in those desert times and say, God, maybe I should just quit. But in the desert times, you can't quit because you're stuck in the desert. But I'll tell you what, every single time, and if it's been 10 or 11 years, twice a year, we're talking about like the last 22, 23, 24 share-a-thons that I ever had to take care of. They were desert seasons. But I tell you what I did learn. Every time, the Holy Spirit showed me. Every time, he showed me what to do. And every time, we didn't get, the need wasn't met during the days of share-a-thon, but sometime within the next month or 6 weeks, we always met the goal because he always showed me what to do. We learn and we hear during those desert times. Now, hopefully it doesn't take you 22 different times to have to be in the desert until you learn this lesson. I was perhaps a little bit slow, but you learn in those desert seasons and those desert times. They're valuable. No, they're not fun, but they are valuable. They're invaluable to us. So the Greek word that we read as desert or wilderness, it actually means this. It's an uncultivated land, and it's an unpopulated land. It's defined as a desolate and deserted place. It is figuratively barren and lonely. All that makes sense, but now listen to this. This is the definition for desert. It is also the place that provides needed quiet. Huh. The desert provides needed quiet. The definition goes on to say it is a time of freedom from disturbance. It's not fun. But it does provide that time of needed quiet. You know, when we're in that season of desert, when we're in that wilderness time that we all find ourselves in this life, when are you in the desert? When are you in the wilderness? You know, when you're fighting through something, some kind of a sickness, and you get to the place of, Jesus, how much longer is this going to go on? I'm standing on the word. Those are the desert times. When you're standing and believing, but you're not seeing what you believe for. Or the times when your marriage feels like it's broken, or your children are rebellious, or you face legal problems that you have no resolve for. Or when you lose your job, or when you're facing bankruptcy or financial problems. Those are desert seasons. When you're facing the time or dealing with depression or emotions that you can't control, or you're dealing with addictions and alcoholism or something else that you can't get freedom from. In life, all of those times feel desperate, it feels barren, and it feels isolated. But rather than focusing on the struggles and focusing on the discomfort that comes from the desert season, rather than that, see the desert as a quiet opportunity. Because it's that quiet opportunity, removed from the world and the noise of the world, where you can hear the Holy Spirit. And when you can see God's supernatural provision, protection, and provision for you. When you think about those 40 years in the wilderness, what do you see constantly? Protection and provision. And it's always, always supernatural. So let's look at that. Look at that definition. According to the definition, in the desert, you're in uncultivated land. In the desert, you're in an uncultivated land. That sounds like an opportunity to me. That is a land that's uncultivated. That is a land that is prepared to produce a harvest. Rather than seeing your desert time as just a barren time in your life, see it as an opportunity to listen, to hear, and to plant seeds, to plant the seeds that He speaks to you. Plant those seeds, and guess what? You're going to find that a harvest comes, and it comes from the desert. It's also an unpopulated place. That means in the desert, it is a time for just you and Jesus. It is a time removed from all the disturbances, all the noise. It's a time removed from all the things of the world. So then you're able to be filled up with ideas that are His. Ideas that are fresh and unique. Truly, the desert, I've learned this from experience, my life experience. The desert is a time of innovation. He will show you things that are new. He will show you things you've never seen before. And He will show you solutions the world has never seen before. Do you think I'm overstating that? I think that you will find in the desert times, you will come up with solutions the world has never thought of or never considered. When you listen in those desert times, as I listen, and we listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit, and as we plant those seeds, you're going to get a harvest of creativity and innovation. It's what He brings us. Some of the best ideas I've ever had in my life were cultivated from desperate times, from dry desert seasons. When I listened and when I received. Because then I was refreshed and then I was prepared for what lay ahead of me. You know, there's a time that I was at WJYM. So this is the radio station I managed before ESFM. And I remember there was a time that really bad news came our way. And it affected, we were part of a chain. There was seven stations in the chain. And it was a really, really bad decision. And my go-to response, something bad happens, I pick up the phone because I know I'm always going to get encouragement and love and support from Donna. And then my second phone call is Pastor Menke, because Pastor Menke always has some kind of word of wisdom and encouragement. And so I went to pick up the phone to make my two phone calls. This is 25 years ago. I can remember the color of the phone. I can remember the little headrest that was on it. I picked up that phone, and I never even got it to my head. And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, "Don't ask for the wisdom of flesh. Get this right with me. Find your answer in me. This is the time to learn from me." And so I set the phone back down, and I never said a word to Donna or to Pastor Menke. Now, Donna, when I got home, could tell there was something going on, but I said, "I will tell you when I can tell you, but right now, Holy Spirit said I need to learn this. I need to learn from Jesus what to do." And it was one of the greatest experiences of my life. It wasn't easy. It was hard. But I'll tell you, as a result of that, I knew exactly what to do, and it made no sense. And it was something that affected all seven of the radio stations. And all seven of us radio managers were all talking together. And they all put forth a plan that they were going to do, except for two of us. There was another man who got the same word that I got from the Holy Spirit. And we did what the Holy Spirit said, which was against the norm. At the end of the day, within 6 months, maybe a year, all those other stations were gone, sold, no longer serving Jesus Christ. They were all sold and became secular radio stations. Only the home office and the two of us station managers who listened and did what the Holy Spirit said, innovation and thoughts, ideas, understanding, insight that came from the Holy Spirit, were the only two stations other than the home office that were still left. I know that in those times of desperation, in those times of desert and wilderness, I know it's hard, but I know that it is such an opportunity. It's such a great opportunity to learn things and to see things that my mind and my flesh and no flesh would ever know or be able to understand. So it's not easy. It's not fun. But I know that we learn so much and the benefits. Again, my situation is always much better leaving. My eyes are on him. It's much better leaving the desert than my situation was when I entered into the desert. That's how we get to the promised land. That's a great place for us to be. It's a place that we desire to be. So now here's the next definition that we get, or the next part of the definition that we see. So I gave you that first part. Here's the second part of the definition. I'm going to give you this twice because I just love this. The desert, according to the Greek definition, the desert is where God richly grants his presence and his provision for those seeking him. The limitless Lord shows himself strong in the limiting, difficult scenes of life. Let me give that to you again. The desert is where God richly grants both his provision and his presence for those who are seeking. The limitless God. God has no limitations at all. The limitless God shows himself as strong in those limiting, desperate situations. Those scenes, those dramatic scenes, those dire scenes in your life. Those are limiting times, but he is limitless. And that's when we see that limitless of Jesus Christ in our lives. If you're in a desert situation right now, if you're facing a problem right now in your life that maybe leaves you shaken and perhaps even leaves you feeling somewhat hopeless, here's the good news. You are where God richly grants both his presence and his provision for those who are seeking him. Rather than despising the moment that we're in, which is easy to do in the desert, rather than despising the moment, seek him. Seek him with enthusiastic excitement and expectation. Because as we can learn to look beyond the dryness, look beyond the blinding barrenness that we experience emotionally during those times of the desert. And that's what happens. In the desert, emotionally, we feel dry. We feel blinded by the circumstances. We feel alone and barren. That's what we feel emotionally. But if we can learn to look beyond that, we'll realize that that is the time that we get to see the limitless power of Jesus Christ demonstrated in our lives. That's when we see those things. That's when we have that emergence. It's in those dramatic scenes. It's in those dire scenes of our lives. That's when we witness the supernatural presence, provision, power, and love of Jesus Christ, his faithfulness to you and I. There's another time that we see Jesus in the wilderness. After Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus. And the Holy Spirit sends Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. So we see that in Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. So the Holy Spirit has descended upon Jesus. And the Holy Spirit leads Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And this is the moment that we see that Jesus is tempted by the enemy of our souls, is tempted by Satan himself. He's tempted, but we see that Jesus answers all of those temptations with the word of God. Now, the narrative continues a few verses later. Look at verses 10 and 11. Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.' Then the devil left, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. So I want you to see this. Jesus withstood the lies of the enemy through the Word of God, so that we, through him, could withstand the lies of the enemy through the Word of God. In this life, Satan is going to lead us into desert times and desert seasons. He's going to do that. And sometimes it's going to feel like you're defeated. And it's going to feel sometimes hopeless. But that hopeless and defeated time in the desert, it's just one of the lies of Satan. That's all it is. Satan lied to Jesus in the desert. He lied. He took the Word of God and he twisted the Word of God. He lied. He said to Jesus, if you are, he's presenting a lie. He's creating Jesus. He's trying to create in Jesus doubt. It's a lie. Satan lied to Jesus in the desert. So when you're in those desert seasons and you experience things that are contrary to the Word of God, know this. It's just another lie of Satan. He's just lying to you in the desert. Like Jesus, speak the Word. Follow the example of Jesus. Here is the worst part, well, one of the worst parts, of the desert experience. When you're in the desert, you feel like you're alone. You might have your spouse or loved one with you, but when you're in the desert, you feel isolated and you feel totally alone. Follow the example of Jesus. Speak the Word of God, because you are not alone. No. This is one of the times that we see the example that the ministering angels are present. We know from Hebrews chapter 11 that we are told, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? This is one of the moments that we see the ministering angels are present. Jesus is our example in this flesh. What you see Jesus doing in the flesh, that's what I should be doing. What I saw him do in this life, that's what I should be doing. And by the same token, what I see, the faithfulness of God the Father to Jesus when he was in the flesh, what I see the Father doing for the Son in this flesh, I can expect as well. So as the angels ministered to Jesus in the desert, so will the angels be ministering to you in your desert times. You may not feel it and you may not be aware, but know this is what the Word says. You're not alone. His very angels are ministering, encouraging, strengthening you, and helping to lead you to victory. It's just a time of the lies of the enemy. That's all it is. But he provides all that we need, everything and more. He's providing things for you that you don't even realize are taking place. You don't even know it's happening. And he's doing it for you. The desert time, the wilderness experience, it's not fun. It's not comfortable, but it's invaluable. It's invaluable to us. Don't despise the day in the desert. Because we will learn, listen to me, we will learn to love the desert season. We will learn to rejoice. We will learn to praise God for the desert seasons. Because here's what's going to happen. As we go through them with our eyes on Jesus Christ, we're going to see, this is going to sound extreme, but I'll show you this is in the Word. We're going to see, you will see, if you do this during your desert season, you keep your eyes on Jesus, you will see that Jesus takes that desert and he turns it into a garden. And not just any garden. No, 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 no. He tells us he will take that desert, that wilderness, and he will turn it into a garden of Eden for your life. Listen to this. This is Isaiah chapter 51, verse number 3. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all of her waste places, and he will make her wilderness, her desert, like Eden. Her desert, like the garden of the Lord. Joy, gladness will be found in her. Thanksgiving, we will be thanking him. We will learn to love the desert seasons if we believe these promises. If we understand what he does and what he's promised to us in those desert seasons, we'll learn to love. We'll learn to rejoice. We'll learn to praise him for those desert seasons. Thanksgiving and the voice of song or instrument of praise. The Garden of Eden was a time of creation and life. In your desert seasons, keep your focus on Jesus. Look to him. Speak the Word of God and get ready to see your desert turned into a garden of deliverance, of creativity, and of life. If you will approach your desert season with this attitude, this mindset, this word and promise, You will see it, your desert time, uncomfortable, not fun, but you will see it turned into that garden. Deliverance, creativity, and life for you. And through that, you and I, we become more of the man or woman that Jesus created us to be for His glory. Here's another thing. When you go through those desert times and you see the desert turned into a garden with joy and thanksgiving and all those things that were expressed in Isaiah, when you go through that experience, guess what? You'll always have that garden. Your desert has been transformed forever into a garden. What would you picture the Garden of Eden? I'd picture it as being refreshing. I would picture it as being strengthening and encouraging. You always have, when you go through the desert, you will always have that garden to go back to and draw strength from. And so when you face your next desert season, you can go back to your past desert. Take a big gulp. Jump on in. Get yourself covered because you know you'll draw strength. You will know that your current desert, it's just going to turn into another Garden of Eden for your life, filled with creativity and life. Is that encouraging? You like all that? Guess what? I didn't even get to the good parts yet. This is all just set up to get to the good stuff because we're all going to face desert seasons, wilderness times in our lives. So next week I'm going to pick up on this, and it's even better, the promises that He has for us. But between now and then, if you're facing or you know someone that's facing a desert season, encourage them, lift them up, remind them that God turns deserts into the Garden of Eden for our life. Amen? If we believe that, let's just praise Him. Let's rejoice in Him today as it provides that Godspeed for us into the week that's ahead of us.